Welcome to another edition of the Rebel Room. We're filling out our brackets today. NCAA tournament about to begin. UNLV, Ryan Green, Case Kiefer along with you. Folks, the Rebels, they get an 8 seed. They're, believe it or not, I'm not joking. This isn't a podcast from a few years ago.
Or last year.
They're matched up. If they win, if Kansas wins, guess who they play? Kansas. Guess who I'm with? Two Kansas grads.
Wearing a Kansas shirt.
Wearing a Kansas shirt. Ryan Green, you've been covering them all year. You were there. I was there. The reaction?
A little subdued. You know, it was funny. It was not a very wild atmosphere. Last year, there was a little crazier because I think they were just excited to get in last year because they weren't 100% sure that they were there. This year, they knew they were there, and I think they thought they deserved more than this. And, you know, both Lon Kruger and Jim Livengood both said that they thought UNLV deserved more, but I think they were both understanding as to why UNLV wound up where it is, and where it is an 8 seed in Tulsa Friday night, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, approximately, on TBS, against Illinois, who was a top 15 team at one point this season. Let's not forget that. And this is a team with enough talent to warrant being a top 15 team, but they've had problems putting it all together this year. And this is a very intriguing matchup because they're two very, very similar teams.
Yeah, and tournament time's always the time where you'll want to guess who's going where and fill out your brackets and get your parlays in and try to figure out who's who and who's the Cinderella going to be. And I guess Case Kiefer, could UNLV be that Cinderella? Is it? I mean, I know everybody's looking at Kansas, but I guess you get a first look at Illinois.
Yeah, I think you do have to first look at Illinois. If you consider a Cinderella winning a first round game and then losing to a one seed in the second round, then yes, they could be a Cinderella. I just don't think they're going to beat Kansas. I think it's unfair. Like you guys talked about, everyone's talking about. I think they're better than an 8 seed, and maybe they even can give KU a scare. I mean, look, Kansas was the number one overall seed last year and lost in the second round, but it's just hard to see UNLV, for me, getting past the second round.
Well, you know, they it's funny because, you know, there's no excuses. You can't make any excuses for UNLV ending up this way. They ended up this way because the bubble was a big old mess, and they just kind of got pushed out of the way, I think unreasonably. But, you know, you can't say it's conference disrespect. The Mountain West got tons of respect. San Diego State got a number two seed, gets a play in Tucson, and has potentially two games that allow them a very favorable path to the Sweet 16. BYU, despite looking a little unimpressive late in the season after Brandon Davies' suspension, a 3 seed and a couple winnable games. So, you know, the Mountain West got respect here. UNLV just kind of drew the shorter straw in a couple of probably toss-ups with the committee.
Yeah, and I guess the good thing for UNLV is they got a chance to prove the committee wrong. It's a team, Ryan, won 9 of 11 coming down the stretch. Definitely playing a lot better. Arguably should have beat San Diego State in the Mountain West semis where they lost. This isn't a bad team, and I personally think, and I know I'm a UNLV grad, and I know you guys are Kansas grads, but I think UNLV definitely has a good chance to beat Illinois. And I mean, I know they're obviously going to be overmatched against Kansas and probably going to lose the game, but this UNLV team is not a scrap heap team. I think they're decent. They've got some good talent, some good players, and stranger things have happened. Am I being too optimistic, Ryan?
No, I don't think you are. I think and look, they're favored by a point and a half over Illinois in the opening line for a reason. You know, Illinois, you know, UNLV fans think their team has been inconsistent. These guys have been a mess as far as inconsistency goes this year. And you know, it's a favorable matchup. UNLV's playing better basketball right now than Illinois. Illinois under Bruce Weber, with the exception of the one championship game run with Bill Self's team, has been a disappointment in the NCAA tournament. So, yeah.
And I guess for me, and you guys obviously, or especially you, Ron, you know a lot about that roster. But when you look at the roster, it's 7 foot, 7'1", 3'6'9" guys and a 6'8" guy. Now, granted, a lot of those players are pretty lanky and slender, but we all know UNLV hasn't really matched up well with longer and bigger teams. We saw San Diego State getting in troubles. Is the size of Illinois, do you think, problematic, or am I just looking at a sheet with numbers and saying, red light, what do we do?
I think it definitely should give every fan a little reason to worry because they have had tough time. But look, the way they played against San Diego State, you know, this is San Diego State has much more athletic big men than Illinois does. And that should give fans a reason for hope. But you got to look at their backcourt, too. Because, you know, for his up and down of a year as he's had, Dimitri McCamey, who was an All-American candidate at point guard. Brandon Paul is a good young player. DJ Richardson, former Finley prep pilot. He's a sophomore there, a sharpshooter from the outside. And Jeremy Richmond, a 6'7" wing, who was a McDonald's All-American last year. I mean, this Illinois team has incredible talent. It is unbelievable the way Bruce Weber's been able to recruit there. They've just woefully underachieved in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, I think this is going to be a really good game. I mean, on paper, one of the better games of the first round. But I just think, like Green said, UNLV's playing better right now. Got to lean to UNLV, but certainly it could go any way. And if Illinois, if things start clicking for them early, they're going to be dangerous.
And I'll tell you what, the best part about this pod that UNLV drew is the storylines. I mean, they're everywhere. You know, let's start with Illinois. You know, Bill Self, who's the coach at Kansas, left Tulsa after leading them to the Elite Eight to take over at Illinois to replace Lon Kruger, who was leaving for the NBA's Atlanta Hawks. Bill Self left in 2003 to take over at Kansas, and Bruce Weber was hired to replace him. So you have the last three Illinois coaches in one 4-team pod. And in that game, you're going to have DJ Richardson going up against
Carlos Lopez,
who they were teammates together on Finley Prep's first national championship team 2 years ago. And then if Kansas advances and UNLV advances, you got two great storylines there because you have you have Quintrell Thomas, who transferred from Kansas to UNLV, who said today that he would love a shot at Kansas. And you also have Anthony Marshall and Elijah Johnson, who were the two best players at any of the public schools in the Valley 2 years ago. UNLV got Marshall. Kansas got Elijah Johnson. They were great rivals, had great battles, and they could be going head-to-head. So, I mean, the storylines this weekend will be incredible.
And I like what you said. You know, Quintrell said that he definitely wanted to, he would like to get a shot at Kansas. And I think that's the mindset, that's the attitude UNLV mm-hmm. has to have for both these games. I mean, if you get to the Kansas game, you're playing with house money. Nobody yeah. expects you to win. If you lose, you're supposed to lose. If you win, well, that's a boost. And I even like the fact, okay, they're playing on TBS. The announcers are, you know, the A-team announcers.
NBA announcers, yeah.
For TBS. I mean, this is a great chance for UNLV to get in the spotlight. Sometimes with the network it's on, gets overlooked, and it's a decent consistent top 25 team.
And this is a station that'll be seen in every household in America, pretty much. I mean, so you know, this is a great stage for UNLV. And you mentioned the house money in the second game. That's a great point because look at what helped Northern Iowa beat Kansas last year when Kansas was the number one overall seed. They went into that game, all the pressure was on Kansas. They couldn't afford to trip up. Northern Iowa had nothing to lose because they weren't even favored to win their first-round game against UNLV. So,
yeah, and the thing is you see it all the time in a tournament. It's a one-game situation. Anything can happen in one game. Case and I, we cover high schools. Bishop Gorman was supposed to be able to beat half the teams in this tournament, and they lost to a Bishop Minogue team with their tallest player was your size, 6 foot.
There will not be a bigger upset in this tournament than Bishop Minogue beating Bishop Gorman. That's a side point, but there will not be a bigger upset than that.
But what I'm saying is anything could be possible. And folks, you know, obviously the tournament is full of twists and turns and trials and tribulations. You know, heroes are made, memories are made, and anything could happen. No, without a doubt, anything could happen. Just looking at the rest of the bracket, what do you guys think about the Mountain West? BYU, San Diego State got, I think, great seeds. You said that earlier. The general consensus, I think, is that everybody believes, you know, San Diego State probably going to get to the second weekend. BYU probably not going to do so. Is that what you guys are getting the feel?
Yeah, I think so. I think San Diego State should be very, very thankful with their draw. I mean, they got Northern Colorado first, a team that was not even D1A a couple years ago. Then they're going up against Temple or Penn State, two teams that, you know, I've watched both of them just a little bit this year, but San Diego State just looks a lot better. Then you look, if they get to the second weekend, you've got UConn as the 3, Cincinnati's a 6, or Missouri 11. I think San Diego State matches up well with all those teams. So looking at the bracket, I'm surprised if San Diego State doesn't make it to the Elite Eight. And, I mean, from there, you're one game away from the Final Four, and we've seen this team up close all year. I think they're good enough to do it, potentially.
I agree with San Diego State, and it's refreshing to see them get a nice draw after they really got screwed each of the last 2 years. So that's nice. I was kind of surprised that BYU got a 3 instead of a 4, but you know, look, everybody's doubting BYU and saying, you know, they're nothing without Davies in the middle and they're one dimensional. Well, here's your chance to prove it, because you're going to get two tough games. You got Wofford, who is very capable of a first round upset in that first game in Denver, and then if you get by Wofford, you're getting the winner of Gonzaga and St. John's, two teams that are going to hammer that soft, weak interior. So prove that you can overcome it. If BYU gets the Sweet 16, I think it's just as good as getting to the Final Four for that team the way they are now.
They are, and I guess the one thing for me, like, we were a witness on Friday when Jimmer went off for 52, and at any given time, I mean, the guy's shooting from everywhere.
Yeah.
If he does that, anything could happen. And I said it before, it's kind of like LeBron with the Cavs.
Yeah.
You know, without Jimmer, BYU's awful. Without LeBron, the Cavs are awful.
Mm-hmm.
And stranger things have happened. I think I'm kind of torn. BYU's obviously out of the league now. Do we want to see them do well for the league?
I think fans should. I definitely think they should. I think, you know, because think about it, nobody that's watching BYU for the first time this year is going to be looking at them saying that's a team going to the WCC. That's a team from the Mountain West. That's what they're going to be saying, and that's what they're going to be thinking. And the Mountain West needs to represent this year, because they only won one of their two first round games last year,
and then that was it.
And then got bounced, both of them, in glorious fashion in the second round, New Mexico by Washington and BYU by Kansas State. So I think the conference really, really needs a good showing.
But let's be honest here. Most of these Mountain West fans are not going to root for BYU. Either
That's
way,
true.
I would say.
That's true. That's true.
Just the stigma that comes with BYU, I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
The weird thing is, last night I covered the fight, and I was driving up Tropicana to get to the fight, and you know, it was right after the conference championship game, and there was a ton of BYU people walking up to the MGM. All of them had, like, Jimmer shirts on, and people were rolling their windows down, and just they were in these guys' ears the whole time.
And then you did the same, probably, being the UNLV homer you are.
Yeah. But here's another sign. Today at the selection show event at UNLV, San Diego State got the 2 seed. All the fans there cheered for
them. Yeah, they were happy to see it. Yep.
When BYU got called, do you remember what happened?
Booze. And there's good, and that's because there's good respect for San Diego State, not a whole lot for BYU.
And I guess with that said, I think not playing them is awful, because that was a game, arguably the game of the year every year for UNLV.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Before we go, I'm going to ask you guys each two questions. First round upset, because they're always going to happen. There's always going to be that 13 seed that wins, and national championship pick. I'm going to go last, because I know you guys already know who I've got penciled in to go all the way to the promised land, baby.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Case, go ahead.
Oh, this is tough. I really haven't filled out a bracket yet. Let's just look. Let's just go down. Okay, the first team I see, I think Utah State has a chance to beat Kansas State. I'm going to be more of a Kansas homer. I really like Utah State. I thought maybe they could be an 11 or so, and they're a 12. So I'll take Utah State as a first-round upset pick. And then my national champion, God, you really put me on the spot here, Brewer. I had no idea. Well, let's go through the regions. I think it's going to be I really like Kansas or Pittsburgh. I think whoever wins Kansas-Pittsburgh game in the Final Four wins it. I'll say Kansas. I'm wearing a Kansas shirt. Why not?
Of course you would. my first-round upset, I got a couple that really intrigue me. One I really like is Richmond, a 12 seed over Vanderbilt. I think Richmond is much better than a 12 seed, and I think the rest of the nation's about to see why. I also like Oakland against Texas. I think that's a great matchup. Oakland has an elite big man in Keith Benson, who can hang with Tristan Thompson and company. And I think the way Texas is playing late in the season, they're ripe for the picking as an upset. My national champion pick. God, I'm gonna sound like a total homer, even though I'm really not even that big of a KU fan. Despite going there, I'm just taking KU because they seem to have the path of least resistance to the Final Four. And when you get to the Final Four, it's the team with the most depth and experience that's going to do it, and Kansas has both. I mean, it's just – it's really hard not to take them right now.
And not that I'm a homer because I know you guys, but I think Kansas also has a lot to prove of what happened last year.
Agreed, agreed.
And my national championship pick, I pick Syracuse –
of course you do.
To beat Kansas in the final, so I also like Kansas to go through. In terms of first-round upsets, is an 11 seed count as an upset?
Yes.
I like Marquette against Cincinnati. I mean, I like Missouri against Cincinnati just because I think Cincinnati, they're a good team. They built their record up a little bit with some weaker opponents, and I don't know if they've got the tournament experience to get there. My humble opinion, Case's humble opinion, Ryan's humble opinion, folks, we'll see what happens next week. Just to let you know, the Sweet 16, if UNLV goes through, is in San Antonio. So maybe we'll be talking to you from there. Thanks for listening to the Rebel Room postgame, or the Rebel Room edition. We'll be with you probably a few more times before the season kind of unofficially closes.